Part 1. A Fresh Start. Chapter 1. 1970 to 1972. He said, "They're hungry today, don't you think? They look like they could do with a sandwich." The boy standing on the far side of the pond was addressing B. He had black curly hair and an Irish accent, and his school blazer was grey to her brown. Her mother had told her not to walk home through the park in case of strange men, but Bee liked feeding the ducks and didn't think this boy qualified as a strange man.
"I keep the crusts from my packed lunch."
She held out a piece of bread to him.
"Would you like to give them some?"
"That'd be grand, yes, if you're sure."
"I'm afraid they don't get enough food living here."
"I dare say other kind souls like yourself feed them."
When he came to stand beside her, she saw that he was a lot taller than her. But then everyone was taller than her. B was 17 and just about scraped 5'2" in heels. She had inherited her dark hair and eyes from her French grandmother and her petite vivacity from her mother, Vivian. The boy threw a crust to a drab duck on the outside of the clacking circle.
"Good shot," she said.
"It's one of my talents."
"Have you others?"
"I can change a car tyre in 20 minutes."
"Goodness!"
When B's father's Wolseley had a puncture and he had to attend to it, it seemed to take him ages and much tutting.
"I work in the garage after school and weekends," said the boy. "I'm on my way there now. You wouldn't happen to have the time on you, would you? The winder's gone on my watch."
"It's 4:30. I'm Beatrice," she said, offering him her hand. "Beatrice Mead. B, actually."
"Kieran O'Neill."
"Kieran. That's a nice name."
"Kieran with a C. That's the proper way of spelling it."
"I like your accent."
A blush flooded her cheeks.
"The way I speak is so boring, so out of date."
Someone had once told her she spoke like Celia Johnson. B had tried to rid herself of her cut-glass vowels ever since, to her mother's disapproval.
Kieran laughed. "I don't think so."
"Which school do you go to?"
He gave her the name of the red brick grammar she walked past each morning. He said,
"You go to a posh private school, don't you?"
"How did you guess?"
He put his head to one side.
"Your blazer. The handshake. It'll be white sliced when I come here tomorrow."
He said goodbye and walked away.
On her way home, B thought about Kieran O'Neill.
She hoped she would see him again. The next day the weather was warmer. From time to time, during lessons and at break, she wondered whether he had meant it. Boys said things like that.
"See you. Bye then."
And the next time you encountered them, they looked through you. After the school day came to an end, she went to the park. She saw with a lift of her heart that he was standing by the pond. He had loosened his tie and slung his blazer over one shoulder.
"Hello there, Bee," he called out. "Did you have a good day?"
She made a face, but quickly turned it into a smile. Her mother scolded her for making faces.
"You're a pretty girl, Bee, so why do you make yourself look like a goblin? No boy wants a girl who scowls and grimaces."
"We had to do a French translation and I got into a hopeless muddle with the subjunctive," she said.
"Don't the French themselves get into a muddle with the subjunctive?"
She laughed.
"How about you?"
"Chemistry practical test. It went all right, I think. Here."
He took the end of a packet of Sunblest out of his pocket and offered it to her.
"Do you want to be a scientist, Kieran?"
"Eventually, yes. I want to go to university to read chemistry."
He lobbed a chunk of bread into the pond, and the ducks dashed, quacking.
"I'll have to get good grades, though. If I make it, I'll be the first in my family to go to university. What about you?"
"I expect I'll do a secretarial course."
None of the girls from B's school went to university. They did a secretarial course or a cordon bleu cookery course, or they nannied for a suit.